Now, this is the proper episode one that I recorded for my very short-lived Old Gamers Tabletop, in which I talk about some changes to Warhammer Age of Sigmar 4th edition. So obviously the first bit is a bit weird because it's still talking about this new podcast. From now on, it will be Fluff and Crunch Does Miniatures. Enjoy. Okay, so this is my first proper episode of my Old Gamers Tabletop podcast, OGT, as I'm calling it. And mainly this episode, I'm looking at the Age of Sigmar 4th edition reveals from Adepticon and the stuff we've had in the week since, because I can't find anyone else doing it. It's my first solo podcast. It's the first time me doing this. I'm currently recording this in the conservatory of my mother-in-law's house. And if the quality is a bit rubbish, I apologise. First of all, I'm going to run through what they said at Adepticon. So it's currently Saturday, the 30th of March. This dropped on, was it like Wednesday morning? I did not stay up, I just read it in the morning. Okay, it's the first time I was going to have a quick look through what they, kind of the stuff that was in a video. So initially they dropped this trailer, really cool trailer. Bunch of people in action, giant big Skaven city breaks through the thing, wrecks everything. And then some Stormcast from, I believe, the Hallowed Knights, something like that, not super up to date in my lore, turn up and fight a bunch of Skaven, basically all the Skaven wreck it, and the Hallowed Knights go and fight the Skaven, and that was it. Didn't really show us a lot about what's going to be in the game. But then we got an interview with some of the developers talking about bits and pieces. So we got a few things. So I'm taking this off the Age of Sigmar on Reddit, a user called SaltySeaDog14. Nice summary. Okay, so thanks to him. I'm going to kind of pick through bits of these. Some of the main things that we're going to look at. So there was kind of vague talk just in terms of, you know, the streamlining the game and streamlining the unit building, which all cast a bit vague. But we've got a couple of specifics that we can. So first one, a lot of things will be changing to just default into sort of 3 inches. So claiming objectives now just 3 inches. But also, by the sounds of it, combat's going to be 3 inches. So whether that means we're not getting pile-ins, not entirely sure. It just kind of sounds like once your unit's within 3 inches of another unit, then those models can fight. So it sounds like weapon ranges are going out the window. To be fair, weapon ranges in Age of Sigmar, not massively a big deal. I mean, I guess when you've got two inches versus 1 inch and you can put in a second row of fighting, that's a good thing. This sounds like essentially everyone pile in everything and two whole units are all going to be able to fight with each other. Which, I mean, I've come from playing Marvel Crisis Protocol, and the idea there is that these models aren't actually, you know, you can have one model at the top of the building, one at the bottom of the building, and they're both hitting each other. The idea is they're fighting up and down the sides of the building. So I feel like that's what they're going for in 4th edition, is that, you know, the two units get into fight, or heroes in there, and they can all fight each other because they're all fighting each other at the same time. You haven't really got, you know, this isn't rank and file, this isn't old Warhammer or old world. This is two units all fighting each other at the same time in amongst each other. So that kind of makes sense, whether it work in play, who knows. We know we're getting Spearhead. People suggested this, that when we got Spearhead boxes, when they renamed the Vanguard boxes, which as far as I know have only just come out. When they renamed the Spearhead boxes, people said, well, this is going to be a new game mode, just like Combat Patrol is 40k. And they said that, yeah, we're going to get a Stormcast Eternal and a Skaven Spearhead at launch. And Spearhead is going to be its own game mode, but I'll come back to that later. So we do essentially know that we're getting Stormcast Eternals and Skaven. People already said that was going to happen. I've got a comment here, it says double-sided board included in the box. I did not know that. I did not pick that up at all. But that's going to be pretty cool because we haven't had that. We haven't had Warcry. We haven't had that in Warhammer. I wonder how big it's going to be. Because if it's Warcry size, that's not really big enough for Warhammer. So normally you'd have two. But two of those boards, I mean, that's going to make the box incredibly heavy for a start. Probably cost a bit more, but still. We'll see what happens with that. They mentioned that we were going to have that essentially battle tomes were going, and I'll come back to that one again later, to be replaced by essentially indexes. They call them faction packs again later, which is cool. They said they're going to be universal special rules. So this is for things like champions, standard bearers, musicians, which is fine. To be honest, the vast majority of champions is plus one attack. And standard bearers and musicians vary. You know, sometimes they call different things as well. So that's a bit of a shame. But I guess there's nothing stopping that individual units override that. So the vast majority, if it kind of said your standard champion is plus one attack, your standard bearer is, you know, plus one to bravery or something like that, and your standard musician is, you know, plus one to your charge or whatever, that's going to be easier because it's for start, it saves text on every single unit. Half the units, you know, the first thing, one unit, one person can be a champion, one person can be a standard bearer, can do this, one person. That's going to be pretty tiresome, or has been. So, you know, that'll be a good change. Maybe it'll simplify the game a bit too much. It's not like Age of Sigmar is the most complicated game ever, but I guess we'll wait and see. Every single war scroll fits on a single-sided card, no matter how big or powerful. Well, at the moment, most things fit on a single-sided card, but the idea that something like, you know, Nagash is going to fit on a single-sided card, I mean, that can be one of two things. One, the game is massively getting simplified and dumbed down, and we're going to lose a whole bunch of stuff, which would be a shame. Because one of the things at the moment, why I like Age of Sigmar over, say, Warcry, is that each unit is different to another unit because of all the special little rules. On the flip side, some of the other things are, you know, overly complicated. But what we might be getting then is more universal abilities. So, you know, like a fear ability. You don't need to write out the entire fear ability. You can just have fear. And so then that's a way of removing text from, you know, fly. So we can have keywords which give certain universal abilities. Where that would be a problem is if there's so many universal abilities, you have to learn them all instead of it just being right there on the card. I mean, I remember trying to play the Batman miniatures game or something like Infinity, where there are so many abilities and they're not on your character either. You have to go and get another, you know, there's pages and pages of standard universal ability rules that you have to look to. And then it becomes unmanageable and those games then become not fun to play. When I play Age of Sigmar, I can just put out all of my war scrolls in front of me. Okay, yeah, I'm going to have to keep referring to them all the time, but at least everything's right in front of me. You know, the basic rules are straightforward. I don't need a universal sheet to look at, and now we will. So that could be good. That could be bad. I guess we will see. Color coding for matching war scroll abilities to phase. That doesn't sound super necessary, but, you know, I guess it might be handy. You only need to look at a special ability if it is in the magic phase, if we're getting a magic phase, or the charge phase, or the shooting phase, or combat, and so on. So that's a good idea. Makes it a pain to print stuff off, because at the moment I print all my war scrolls off from, you know, other websites, and I tend to print everything black and white. So having to print everything color is going to be a pain, but, you know, that's a tiny little thing to moan about. Apparently we're getting updated rules for regiments of renown and armies of renown. No idea what that's actually going to mean, so kind of skip that for the moment. So that's kind of the initial stuff that we got to start with, okay? And that was Wednesday. Now, considering it's only Saturday, we've already had a bunch of posts on the Warhammer website, Warhammer community website, giving us more information. Yeah, we've had quite a lot so far already. Some of it wasn't particularly useful. Some of it was more useful. I mean, for the first day, we got a here's what changed in the new edition. So this was on the 25th. Now I'm thinking Adepticon. Was it a week and a half ago then? I don't know. It seems recent. So on the 25th, we got a post where the first half kind of talked about the trailer bit and really generic stuff. And then we got a bunch more information. So, first thing we got is that the rules are going to be modular, which they've come back to, so I'll come back to that later. And we got another thing, that the game's going to be more interactive. Well, it's vague. I mean, does that mean that it's going to be I go, you go? Okay, or is it alternate activations? We don't know. It's going to be the same as what it was, but, you know, initially saying that kind of thing. One thing it did say is that you're going to be able to cast spells and even potentially charge in the opponent's turn. That makes me think that you're going to be using, like, command points or something to be able to do this. And then not everyone's going to be able to do it. But by the sound of that, that's great. It stops, you know, one person doing nothing in the other person's turn. They then said that priority is still going to be a thing and that there'll be a heavy cost to taking a double turn. Now, I'll jump ahead. We know what this is now because we revealed that whole article about the double turn and priority and whether it should stay. Essentially, there's still going to be a priority role. But if the person who wins the priority role also was the last person to take the turn, if they choose to go first the next turn and get the double turn, they give up a battle tactic. Now, I don't play at this point matched play, so I haven't really looked into battle tactics. What I know then is from playing just, you know, open play or playing narrative play, which is what I play. We play basically Path to Glory, so we play narrative. You don't have battle tactics, and therefore that rule really doesn't change anything. So I'd hope that there's also going to be a penalty in narrative play if you choose to have the double turn, but I guess we'll wait and see. More marking speed is going to be more impactful terrain, which right now means nothing. I mean, fair at the moment, you have a mysterious terrain rules for terrain, and I've been skipping it because it's just an extra rule I can't bother to remember. So that could mean something, it might not mean anything. Streamlined army list building. I mean, at the moment, I don't know how they could streamline it much more. The only thing I can see is maybe units who can have options won't have options. But at the moment, you know, I've been knocking up, okay, admittedly only 1,000-point rosters, not 2,000-point rosters. But using the app or using the website, I've been knocking up rosters for Hammer in, you know, like 5 minutes. So it's already incredibly streamlined, the roster building. So there aren't a huge amount of options at the moment. Okay, you've got, you know, what kind of artifacts and command traits and so on to give people. But if they remove those, that could be a pain. So hopefully they're not removing too much because I think it's already streamlined. I guess maybe they're getting rid of battle line. Okay, battle line is about the one restriction you have. But again, in narrative play, I ignore battle line anyway. So I guess we'll wait and see. Then we got told a more reactive command system. What does that mean? It means that when someone else spends a command point, you can spend your command point to cancel their command point. I don't know, maybe it links into this idea that you can cast spells and charge in the opponent's turn. So maybe you're going to be able to use your command points in the other person's turn. Because at the moment, pretty much all my command points go on healing my heroes, if I need to. I know that's a heroic action, not healing. It's rallying. So yeah, I use them for rallies. Rerolling charges, and then, you know, either all-out attack or all-out defense. That's pretty much the use of my command points. Oh, and not having to do battle shocks. And then the really interesting one, which actually sounds like a new rule, so there will be an underdog mechanic. Now, considering that every single battle plan has completely different, you know, some of them kind of you have victory points, other things it's just killing the other person, otherwise it's who has what at the end of the match. I'm not sure how they do an underdog mechanic when you don't have a unifying victory point game, you know, because I've played things like Marvel Crisis Protocol or Malifaux where you have, you know, set victory points. And Marvel Crisis does have kind of an underdog mechanic built in. Not entirely sure how they're going to fit this into Age of Sigma. That's interesting. I guess we'll see what's going to happen with that. On the same video, we also then got some things about battle tomes. So they, some points they call them indexes. Here they also refer to them again as faction packs. I prefer the name faction pack purely because it's not index, which is what they're called in 40k, which sounds much more 40k, but the name of it's kind of irrelevant. So they're going to come with war scrolls in, they are going to come with battle tactics, they are going to come with battle formations, which sounds like kind of like battalions, or maybe it's like there's something called attachments in 40k, which I'm not really familiar with. They mentioned heroic traits, so I think that's a replacement for command traits, which implies maybe more people will be able to use them. That's good though, because it means at least we're not losing those. Artifacts of power, spells, prayers. So again, we're not losing magic. There was people worrying that we weren't going to have magic in Age of Sigmar because apparently they got rid of Psyker's stuff in 40k. But yeah, so we're not losing anything by the sounds of that. Everything we currently have, we're still going to have. I think the worry now is sub-factions. That doesn't bother me. I know, sorry, sacrilege, but because I'm only back into Age of Sigmar at the moment, I've not been playing a lot of sub-faction stuff. Although, annoyingly, my friend Brian, when he's with his Path to Glory Khorne Warbound, I gave him a sub-faction. It's the sub-faction where you add +1 to wound when you're in your enemy's territory, which is why they keep doing so much damage. So, yeah, I guess I'll either play sub-factions on both sides, but not one and not the other. That was a bit slow. Anyway, so sub-factions could be a pain. We don't know if they're going to be there or not. We got told there's actually going to be a General's Handbook in the box. This core box is sounding like it's pushing £200 or like, you know, $300 or something, if it's going to have all this extra stuff in it we're not used to. Anyway, we don't know. I'm just spitballing here. So, yeah, it sounds like we're going to have a good chunk of stuff. Obviously, we don't know if we're losing things. You know, will we lose all of the Underworld models? All of the Warcry things, which currently do pop up in you know, your Age of Sigmar games, are we going to lose all of them, or are we still going to keep them? I hope we keep them all, because I've got, you know, Underworld stuff that I use, and I've got Warband, Warcry factions that I want to use in a Slaves of Darkness army, so I'm hoping I don't lose that. Path to Glory is still in, which is great, because Path to Glory is the main thing I play, so I'm hoping that stays in. It is staying in. I hope it stays in a form kind of like we've got at the moment. I like the changes they made between second and third. I thought about playing it in second and then didn't. So I am playing third. I really enjoy it. But yeah, that could be tweaked a bit. So that's everything we got told about the battle tomes. I mean, essentially, we're going to get battle tomes, obviously, for Stormcast and Skaven pretty soon after we get all the stuff. And then we'll have to wait and see when the other ones come out. I've seen a lot of people complaining. It's funny this week, because we got dropped a thing saying that battle tomes are going. And a lot of people straight away went, oh, battle tomes are going. And I was a bit puzzled by that, because during the initial announcement at Adepticon, they said that indexes are coming to replace your battle tomes. So then for a week later, when they put an article out saying your battle tomes are going to be replaced and people were complaining, I didn't get that, because I got that message a week ago. So maybe they didn't really say that and I imagined it, but that was the message I got a week ago. So, and again, people with the Flesh Eaters, but I've just bought the Flesh Eaters box. Literally 2 weeks ago, I got the Flesh Eaters box, but I bought it knowing the fourth edition was coming and it could go out of the window. I bought it because I wanted I bought the army box. But I've also just bought, you know, the Cities of Sigmar book, because I wanted it and I wanted the lore in it and I wanted the pictures. And yes, a bunch of the rule stuff will go, but I still like things like just having the individual war scroll things with the pictures for that unit next to the, like, little bits of lore for those units. So yes, the rules go, but it's handy to have the book of the rep. I mean, it's not like I use the book during a match. The book sits off to one side. I've printed all my things out. I'll still just be printing the things out. I'll just be printing them from somewhere different. So yeah, I can understand why people are annoyed that their book's being replaced, but we knew the fourth edition was coming, and I've only just started playing that new fourth edition was coming. So yeah, what have we had on the website this week? Well, one of the things again is the stuff about the war scrolls being changed. We knew that. We don't know a huge amount. The kind of implied profiles is going to change in. This is a big one. Wounds has become health. I think most people still call it wounds. I guess it kind of makes more sense. But instead of thinking of how many wounds you can take, it's how much health you have. So you can be counting down instead of up. I mean, I played a game of Warcry the other day where I was counting wounds and the other player was counting their health down. Doesn't make a lot of difference as long as you get it correct. Miniatures can now fight in melee if they are within a 3-inch combat range of opponents. Okay, it's like it's speeding up pylons and combat resolution. I guess it will speed things up. Pylons can take a little bit of time. I'm not sure that'll speed things up massively. Again, we've told universal special rules. Battle shock has been removed. That's a massive one. I mean, the battle shock phase can be a big deal, particularly when you've got kind of guys with rubbish bravery and big units. You know, I attack a bunch of Blood Reavers the other day. I kill 4 of them. They've got rubbish bravery. You add 4 to the roll. The rest run. The whole unit's destroyed, basically. If that rule's gone, suddenly there's no penalty to taking small, squishy units, but bravery is still a characteristic, we think. So I guess that's one we'll have to wait and see. I mean, again, it's only been a week and they've already told us quite a lot of stuff. If they keep doing it at this rate, that'll be... Well, hopefully we know all the rules pretty quickly. So we got the stuff about the modular rules. Some nice pretty diagrams. Essentially, there's an idea that there's core rules, which has moving, fighting, shooting, unit coherency and objectives in it. And then we have advanced rules. So commands is an advanced rule. Terrain is an advanced rule. Magic is an advanced rule. Army composition, command models and battle tactics. Okay, which makes sense. And then they gave us another table which showed, like, Spearhead only uses the basic rules. And then Path to Glory adds on everything except for battle tactics, which is exactly what I do at the moment. And then you can do matched play, which has everything that includes battle tactics, and General's Handbook also has seasonal rules. So it's not a huge amount of difference from now, because already now you can just choose not to play the things. I think it's going to be how it's structured in the rule book. So I feel like maybe we'll go back to a first edition thing where the basic rules fit on two sides of A4. super straightforward. And then you go to another thing for magic, and then you go to another thing for commands, and then you go to another thing. Whereas like the third edition book at the moment, the rules are split over a lot of pages because you have the rules, and then you have a sub thing for the command rules. And then it mentions magic with magics later on, and it's all included in these like 30 odd steps in the core book. So I guess it's in kind of streamlining the basic rules. So if you want to play a really quick game, getting someone into it, playing Spearhead, you're just playing those super basic rules. And yeah, that'll be nice and easy. And then everything else is its separate page, which, I mean, that doesn't sound like the rules are actually going to change a whole lot. It'll just make it easier to find things, if anything. So I'm not getting to that. That sounds pretty decent. And then they're talking about seasonal rules where they can basically replace things. So again, we can just take out the magic rules and replace the whole magic thing for match play, which again, that sounds like a decent idea. I've already gone over the change that made the priority rule. So that's everything that we've got at the moment. So what do I think at the moment? Well, firstly, I'm glad that we haven't seen any models. But the fact that we know in the video that we know that we're getting Stormcast and Skaven. So I'm super happy to get Skaven, hopefully some new models. I really like Skaven. I deliberately haven't bought any Skaven now, getting back into it, because I'm like, ooh, new models are coming. So that's really good. That's a positive in the core box. I wish it wasn't Stormcast again, because at this point, like, I built my Stormcast from my first box, from first edition. I haven't built many of my Stormcast from my Blight War box that I got. I haven't built my Stormcast from Night War. No, Soul War, whatever it's called, second edition. And I've got about half of the Stormcast from the third edition box. But that's the thing at the moment. I have four core boxes, because I've got Blight War as well, four core boxes of Stormcast, and I'm about to get a fifth one. And then also I'm thinking of buying Nightmare Cross for Warcry. That has Stormcast on it. I've got some Stormcast from the original Underworlds box. I know Stormcast are like the poster boys for Age of Sigmar, but we have to have Stormcast in every single core box. It's just a bit annoying. But anyway, at least it means I can probably fill 2,000-3,000 points of Stormcast if I wanted. I don't, but if I wanted. Having boards in the box sounds pretty cool. Worried that's going to make the box really expensive. But, yeah, it is what it is. General's Handbook in it, that's going to make it more expensive. But, in terms of from a box sounds good. God, this way we're going to have terrain in it as well. In terms of the rules, well, we haven't really heard a lot so far. We've still got a lot of vague stuff about streamlining, modularity. Modularity is fine, okay? No issue with that. Modularity 100% sounds like a good thing. Streamlining, not super keen on. It's already a relatively streamlined thing. Like removing Battleshock. I like the Battleshock rule, but I guess we'll see what replaces it. The change to command points, we don't know what they are yet. Change to the priority, it's not really changed. But from what I've heard in the article yesterday, it's only changing for matched play, and therefore in narrative play, there is no change at all to the double turn. But to be honest, this is what one of the things people talk about this on Reddit. In matched play, people aren't that bothered about the double turn, and it'll be a penalty now for doing it. So it sounds like it's not a big problem. Where people don't like the double turn is in casual play. If you don't like the double turn in casual play, don't do a priority roll. Choose at the start of the game who gets the first turn, and then just alternate. So, problem solved. Speaking of first turn, there was a thing actually in the priority thing article yesterday which did say that, I'm trying to remember what it actually said, the player who deploys or finishes deploying first will get to choose who goes first, which kind of sounds like you will now deploy units one at a time, which I guess you do now, but it does vary from mission to mission, because I play narrative a lot of the time. One person deploys everything and the other person deploys nothing. Certainly we played a Path to Glory battle plan the other day where I deployed all my ogres in the centre of the map, and then Brian deployed his Khorne Bloodbound completely afterwards. So I deployed first because the mission told me to. But again, that then told us who had first turn. So maybe they're going to, you know, that sounds like there is going to be a thing to do with maybe smaller armies get a better chance of going, for, or at least choosing who goes first. Because it depends on other things, obviously. So again, we need to hear more about that. Changes to things like, is magic changing a lot? Is there going to be more magic, less magic, more powerful, less powerful? No idea. So I'm just purely speculating. So what we've heard of the rules so far, I can't really say anything. We haven't heard enough changes to make an actual judgment call on that. In terms of the battle tomes, am I upset that the battle tomes are going? No, because I knew they were going to go to some extent. You know, I knew everything that I just bought. Okay, if you bought every single book, I guess you'd be annoyed, but you also knew they were all going to get replaced because that's what happens. Every 3 years they get replaced. The thing I quite like now is that everyone will get a, you know, you'll get all of your war scrolls for everyone on the website and you'll be able to use them. Everyone will be in the same boat. Where it's a bit naff then is that when the battle tomes come out, people with battle tomes almost certainly will be more powerful than people without. And if your index or faction pack is rubbish, your faction just got massively nerfed. And supposedly that is what's happened in 40k. I don't think we can read too much into what's happened in 40k to what's happened to Age of Sigmar, because by most accounts, Age of Sigmar is kind of, it's a year later, they can learn from the mistakes, but also they kind of do a better job than 40k. Again, I don't play both, and I've only just got back into it, so I can't really talk about that. I think the thing that concerns me though is not the battle time, it's the fact that we might lose things like sub-factions and a lot of units by saying that all war scrolls will fit on one side of a card. I'm worried they're going to lose rules off certain units, so they're going to lose some flavour. You know, I'm worried your big, cool models, loads of exciting rules, that they're going to lose a load of rules, and then therefore they're not going to be as interesting, and the units will become a lot more samey. So I don't know that though, I'm joking, but that's my worry. I mean, that's my one worry at the moment, is by moving to indexes, you know, can they possibly rewrite every single war scroll? We're going to be losing things, okay? I really hope we don't lose my Warhammer and Warcry warbands, because they're cool and I have a bunch of them, because they're a cheap way of getting a unit. So I hope we don't lose those, and I hope the big guys don't lose too many rules, and I also hope there aren't too many universal rules. So I think that's my worries at the moment. Anyway, I kind of think I've run out of things to talk about, so if you like that, great, please leave comments. I'm not entirely sure how you do this, because this is the first time I've done this podcast on this Spotify platform, but you know, reach out to me through the website, which you can find that through the podcast. Leave comments if you can on Spotify, whatever platform you're listening to this on. I'll sort out an email address, I guess, at some point. You can also probably find me through the Fluff and Crunch Discord, which, if you first sign up that podcast, that's the other podcast, and it's all about role-playing games, but I am currently talking about 40k and Warhammer Age of Sigmar. I'm going to be doing that next week, so some point soon there will be an episode on Age of Sigmar Soulbound. So yeah, if this is a YouTube, I'd say like and subscribe and leave a comment below, but it's not YouTube, it's still just a podcast at the moment. So there you go, thanks for listening. Hope it wasn't terrible. I'm sorry I waffled on a bit, and I'll try and get some other people to do this with. Laters.